contentment, joy for the journey. I realize this morning that some of you, as we go through this message, you're going to think in your hearts, I wish this were true for me. Because honestly, there are some of you here this morning have burdens and troubles and cares that would astonish us if we knew about them. And you're here thinking in your heart, God, do you have a word for me? Do you have encouragement for me? And so that's where we want to focus this morning, that there is contentment no matter what you face. I want to kind of share just a couple of things overall before we go into the text. One is, I think we'd recognize that sometimes discontentment is good. We should not be content with less than our best. We should not be passive and lazy about our responsibilities. We should always be dissatisfied with less than our best in pursuing Christ and growing in Christian maturity. But on the other hand, when we think of contentment, a life characterized by a healthy contentment is absolutely crucial to our mental, emotional, and our physical health, our spiritual health. Biblical contentment means a life that draws from an inner reservoir. The word itself means to be self-contained deep within, so that we draw out of these resources in our hard times. It means being inwardly stabilized. And what I'd like to do as well is, through this message, to put aside our romanticized, our superficial ideas of what contentment might mean. Obviously, this is going to come from God alone. And so, we look at our text this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the situation. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As Paul was moving toward the end of his life, he writes these words. And it's obvious there's something here that we would like to know about. A kind of inner stability, inner strength, a kind of inner self-containment that does not allow outward situations that assailed him to upset him. And so from this passage, the title of my message is Grasping the Elusive Quality of Containment. Contentment. Where do we find it? First of all, we're going to look where it's not found as we examine the text. That is, contentment is not found in other people, in circumstances, or just in the super Christian like Paul. However, it is found, we'll find in this text, in a person, in weakness, and through a learning process. And so, what I'd like to do from this passage is look at the wrong paths from the text, the right paths, and want to illustrate that for my own life in the issue of contentment right now that I face. and apply it and illustrate it. And so, first of all, looking in the wrong places. Contentment is always elusive when we think it's found in other people. Notice what Paul says in verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no way to show it. Now, if we look at this little letter of Philippians, we discover there's no congregation, there's no group of believers who love Paul more than these believers at Philippi. And Paul had a great love affair with them. And as we read through the text of this little letter, we discover that again and again, they met Paul's needs. That's quite plain. But there came a time when he did have a need, but for whatever reason, they couldn't meet the need. Having good supportive relationships in life is worth its weight in gold. As I think back through the years of my own life, at some tough, tough times, I've had individuals stand up for me, support me, encourage me, meet my needs when I desperately need it. There are other times we're bound to be disappointed in our relationships if we base our contentment on how other people relate to us and we relate to them. I suspect in this room there probably not a person here who has not been disappointed or even deeply hurt by someone over the years. You depended on that relationship and they disappointed you. It pains me to say that as I look back on my life, if I have, having regrets that I've had, I have regrets on this that I've had to release to God, is that at a very crucial time in a good friend's life, when he needed my support, I failed him. In fact, I failed him from his point of view so badly that our relationship has never been the same. I went twice to him personally in his home. I asked his forgiveness. We talked about it, but it's never been the same. We simply cannot depend on personal relationships for contentment. At some point, others fail us. And ultimately, our very best relationships will be taken from us in death. So we can't base our contentment on other people. Secondly, contentment will always remain elusive as long as we think it's found in right circumstances. Notice what Paul has to say. I have, in this passage again and again, I've learned to be content, whatever my circumstances, whether hungry, whether well-fed, whether doing well, whether not doing well. I've learned that. I've learned to be content. Twice he said, I've learned the secret of being content, whatever the circumstances. Now, I suspect you, along with me, can be content as long as we control our circumstances. You know what my fantasy circumstance is after this winter? Is next winter, January, February, March, yeah, even April, to have a villa on the island of St. Thomas in the Caribbean, right on the beach, and spend those months there in the sunshine and 80 degree temperature. But that's just fantasy, isn't it? Circumstances rarely work out the way we want them to. In fact, meditating on this passage, we find from Paul a different perspective about contentment. Paul is saying to the believer there, I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever my circumstances. whether well-fed or hungry, plenty or in want. And if you look, we're not going to turn there, but if you look to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find an expanded list of these specific issues that he faced through his life, his circumstances. He talks about prison many times. Whipped time without number. Faced death again and again. 5 times, 39 lashes from the Jews. 3 times beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, hungry, thirsty, without food, shivered in the cold, without enough clothes. You know, the question I raised as I meditated on this passage is, how can I get a grip on this kind of contentment? It's obvious. It's obvious there is Paul through the years had developed this strong inner reserve. As the Word says, he had built up a strong inner container of strength where he was not bothered by what was happening to him. Ultimately, he had this deep inner contentment. I read this past January. Johnny Erickson Tada's book called A Place of Healing, Wrestling with the Mysteries of Suffering, Pain, and God's Sovereignty. It's a very good book. And it helped me get a perspective on the issue of having hard circumstances with contentment. Now, sometimes it was painful to read her book and all the issues of her pain as a quadriplegic for over 4 decades, a quadriplegic, and then this horrific pain. At times she simply could not stand it. And in spite of doctors, in spite of having the elders pray for her, in spite of a loving husband and wonderful friends, she simply could not find relief for several years. But here's what I sensed as I read this book. That in her wrestling with this pain, the circumstances that were pressing in on her, there was always this sense of a deep content of God's presence. A sense that God had a purpose in this, even though she could not understand it. And that he was with her, and that he would sustain her even in the deepest times of pain. This is the kind of contentment Paul is talking about. Trusting the sustaining presence and ultimate purposes of a sovereign, loving God. And looking in the wrong places, contentment will always remain elusive as long as we think it's found only in the super Christians. Sometimes when reading this passage, reading the life of Paul, reading what his teachings, I want to say, that's Paul. That's just Paul. That's not me. He has something I don't have. And yet it comes back to me, God says, don't deify Paul. He's a man. I had a professor in graduate school we all loved. He was a wonderful professor. He just was a wonderful teacher, terrific man, a godly man who was a great mentor to us. And he would often remind us, I do not have celestial buttermilk in my veins. I'm a human being, just like you, seeking God in my life. God doesn't play favorites. In fact, it suddenly dawned on me as I go back to verse 9 in chapter 4. What did Paul say in chapter 4, verse 9? Whatever you have learned or received, whatever you've learned or received or heard or seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says this is not for me only. Look at my contentment. Examine my contentment. Examine why. Then learn it, receive it, practice it. You, me, and the God of peace will be with you. And so we look in these wrong places, whether it's people, our circumstances, our thinking only special people have it. Alexander McLaren made this statement. O God, my strength, if I fix my happiness on anything less stable than the heavens, less sufficient than you, sooner or later I will lose it. If my life twines round any earthly prop, sometime or other that prop will be plucked up. My poor vine will be torn, and its sap will bleed out of it. Therefore I choose to entwine the tentacles of my life around you. And so that leads us into the passage of where we find contentment. First of all, contentment is found in a person. In verse 10, Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. And then down in verse 13, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Contentment is not something I do. Contentment is not these 10 steps I take. But contentment is in a person who loves me and desires to know me, to know and love him more and more. This is the core of the secret of contentment. It is not something I get from Christ, but it is Christ himself. A.B. Simpson, Christian Missionary Alliance, wrote a hymn. And part of that hymn goes, once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the things that God could give, now it is God himself. Paul himself wrote in chapter 3 of this little letter, and verse 10, in the Amplified it says, Paul says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may more deeply, progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And I suspect that Paul knew by heart Psalm 63, where David said, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my whole body longs for you, in a parched and weary land where there's no water. Folks, I think we all realize we live in a desert, a place of no provision. The only provision for contentment, or for joy, or for peace, as they're woven through this little letter of the book of Philippians, is found in Christ and Christ alone. There's no contentment in our broken world except our God who in Christ at the cross displayed his love and commits himself to take care of those who belong to him. Another clue we have, not only in a person, but contentment is found through helplessness. If we're prone to think of Paul as a super Christian, notice when he says, I have learned. I have learned. Paul found contentment through his helplessness. Humility and helplessness are absolutely essential in the maturing Christian life. Bad relationships, circumstances would have crushed Paul had he tried to deal with him in his own, with them in his own strength. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says in this definitive time of trial, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he should leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, insult, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Another issue of learning is found, another issue of contentment is found through a learning process. Paul says, I have learned to be content. I have learned the secret. Contentment doesn't happen in one day. It didn't for Paul in some emotional experience. He twice emphasizes, I have learned. It was a learning process in which he found Christ sufficient a day in hard times. There was a lifelong classroom experience. And the teaching occurs only in our hard times. I made a list of 6 or 8 family and friends who are going through tough times. One couple I recently visited several weeks ago. The wife of this couple was suddenly facing a severe health problem. Spending time with the husband, I was struck by the relaxed spirit of contentment, joy, and thanksgiving in a hard situation. But knowing their life, driving back home, I realized the contentment, the thanksgiving and joy, genuinely, his spirit, you can't fake this. From deep within, his spirit reflected a contentment and a joy in giving up everything to take care of his wife. But I realized the contentment that he is now displaying has been learned through some hard situations over the past years in their life. As he and his wife responded to God in those difficult times, there developed a contentment that is now strong, clear, solid in his life. It is a learning process. They learned in a number of hard classroom situations through the years that they could trust their teacher, and they're choosing to trust their teacher now. In my own life, contentment with aging is a top priority. And I suspect, except for teenagers here who want to be older, that anyone over 20 would like to slow down the process somewhat. In the last few months, just Kobe Bryant, superstar of the Los Angeles Lakers. And he's shown here limping off the floor just recently with a ruptured Achilles tendon. And you know how that affects a superstar athlete or any athlete. But here's what he said about it. The frustration is unbearable. The anger is rage. Maybe I should break out the rocking chair and reminisce on a career that was. Maybe this is how my book ends. Maybe Father Time has defeated me. Do you know what I say to Kobe? Baloney. There's more to come. And I'm reminded of this when I go to the fitness center 3 times a week trying to delay Father Time, you know, working out with weights. But I can't help be reminded there. I had this young stud come by the other day, you know, 20-something, literally, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not preaching here, his legs, literally, his arm looked as big as my thigh. And when he did the weight machine, you know, the weight machines are stacked with weights all the way down, he would put in the pin down at the very bottom and then add a plate or two. And then I follow him. Take it out here and put it up here. gradually, all of us move through the years and changes happen. Careers fade. Health issues increase. Physical, mental abilities may change. And none of us escapes the reality of the word from Ecclesiastes. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Whatever measure of contentment at this stage of my life comes from God arranging opportunity in college for some mentors, for some guys who help me realize that Christianity is not growing up in a church, not primarily growing up in a church, being baptized, following a list of do's and don'ts, and is much more than following or believing a set of propositional truths. Christianity, at its very core, is a lifelong pursuit of a growing, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And now over the years, through regular worship, yes, communion, the teaching of the Word, community, and the disciplines of spiritual formation, but it helped me grow deeper with Christ. Specifically, the avenue that has helped me the most has been soaking my mind, just soaking my mind in Scripture, whether it's reading it or listening to it or studying it, particularly memorizing it, meditating it, soaking with God's truth. The Scripture opens the doorway to know Him who is the living God. It's not out of a ritual or rote or just memorizing to be memorizing, but it's a doorway to find Him who is my life and my strength. Think of Colossians 2. Contentment is that deeply rooted confidence that Christ is sufficient for all my needs and He will never leave me. I think of Colossians 2, 6, and 7. This sums it up for me. That now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. Let your roots grow down into Him. Draw up nourishment from Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. And let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all He has done for you. Notice all the way through, Christ, vital union with Christ, roots grow down into Christ, draw up nourishment from Christ, go on growing in the Lord, become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for what Christ has done for you. I picture it, my life through the years, seeking to be like Psalm 1, the tree planted by rivers of water, and my roots growing deep down into that life-nourishing water, drawing up from Him, finding out through all the hard times we've gone through in life that God is sufficient, trusting Him in those hard times, that He is who He says He is, He does what He says He will do, and finding Him faithful. Knowing Him, my crucified one, that at the cross, God poured out His love. He forgave my sins. He adopted me into His family. He accredited the righteousness of Christ to me. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, has come to live in my heart and my life and is that foundation and sustainer of my life. That has facing the future with a contentment that I can trust Him. He is the trustworthy one. He'll take care of my needs. He'll be with me in death. He'll give me a new resurrected body. Yes! And I'd really go after those weights then. And He's going to provide a new heavens and a new earth. This is what motivated Paul. Read the book of Philippians. This is what really brought about the depths of his contention, is this God living in him in the present and has a future. In the final battle of Narnia, the series on Narnia, and he says to the children, Aslan says to the children, and for them it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world, all their adventures in Narnia, had only been the cover and the title page. And now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That sums up that contentment in my heart and soul. In 1995, a world-famous violinist, Yitzhak Perelman, was playing with a symphony when one of the strings on his violin broke. It broke with such a loud noise that everyone who was attending could hear it. The writer describing, the columnist in New York describing this, said that Mr. Perelman paused, looked at the broken string, thought for a moment, and then he nodded to the conductor to continue. The columnist said, as he played with just three strings, apparently this superb violinist, this superb artist, it seemed as though he, in his mind, was recomposing his part. And thinking ahead to new fingerings to bring through notes to bring out sounds that had never been heard before. When he finished, the audience stood and gave him a standing thunderous ovation. When they finished, here's what he said. You know, sometimes it is the artist's task to find out how much music you can still make with what is left. And so, contentment is the deep-rooted confidence that Christ is sufficient for all my needs, and He will never leave me. That was Paul's secret. That can be your secret and my secret. Let's pray. Father, for the one who is hurting most this morning, who is facing enormous pressure, torn up inside, filled with worry, would you take this simple loaf of bread, touch it, multiply it to their heart this morning? In Jesus' name, amen.